Galatians 2, one of my favorite books. I'm hoping it'll be one of your favorite books by the time we're done the study. I asked before, I said, anyone's favorite book? And let the record show, nobody raised their hand. And that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of books, and there's a lot of books we love, and I get that. This is tremendous. It's just, it's to me personally, it's a tremendous, tremendous book. I love every word. It'll take me a long time to get through it. I'm taking smaller bites than I usually do because there's a lot here, and I want us to get it, and I want us to kind of systematically understand this, and I don't want us to miss anything. So let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, and I'll read verse 1. Today we'll look at just verses 1 through 10 and 1 through 10 only. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that, because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be something in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we pray that the Spirit would move among us mightily and tell us the things that we need to know. And Lord, we remember our brother Saeed languishing in jail there in Iran, and I pray his imminent release. And Father, for his family, that you would bless them and keep them, his wife, through this difficult time. And Lord, for this treaty with Iran, we renounce it for the satanic deception that it is, and we pray it down, and we pray that you would awaken both houses of Congress and that it wouldn't happen. Lord, we have no desire to be on the wrong side of what you're trying to do in this earth. So, Father, I pray this evil away. And, Lord, as we just study your word here, and some of us are distracted by physical pain or needs or financial, Lord, I pray that you, the God of blessing, would open up the windows of heaven and take care of all that we need and glorify yourself in so doing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 14 years after what? You remember he was sharing, it was kind of a quirky, different scripture, and I hopefully explained why that was there last week, and if you weren't here, you have to get the recording. He went up to see Peter, he abode with him 15 days, he didn't see any of the other disciples except James. He's saying, look, the things which I'm I'm not lying. This is how it really came, shook out. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And we talked about that the true gospel of Jesus Christ glorifies God and not man. If it glorifies you, if you can take your bows, your plaudits, your accolades at the end of the day, what you got hold of is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're bowing and accepting applause and look at how wonderful and awesome I am, what you got is it's a devil gospel. It's a demon. It's forged in hell. You have to renounce it for what it is. Because the true gospel, at the end of the day, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone is glorified. And we understood that Paul, he says, listen, I was face to face with Jesus. He gave me this. Now, and we talked about this last week. This is how we ended. Is what I'm saying important? Well, yeah, eternally important. If you say, Adam, I think you're all wet, I think you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm not believing what you said, well, that's fine, but I got what I believe, I got it off Paul. Yeah, well, where'd Paul get it? Well, he got it off Jesus. And I ended by saying, what are your gospel, where'd you get it? Well, I think that, whoa, you think? Is that, you really want, you want to finish that sentence? You think? And so, how does it work? How does it work? Well, I think that, you know, a good friend of mine, I'm quoting him, I think that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. You think that? You think? That's how you establish your eternity on what you think? That's kind of shaky ground. And by the way, I absolutely agree with his assessment. I believe that good people go to heaven, and I believe bad people go to hell, and the Bible is very clear in telling us there is no good people. There's Jesus and there's sinners. Guess which category you're in? I don't know good people. I never met one. The one who's bringing this teaching this morning certainly isn't one. So that's where we end up. What do you think? And people say, well, I believe. What, you really want to finish that sentence? Let's just think on steroids. Well, I believe that. And now you're going to go by what you believe in. Where'd you get that? Would you conjure that? You think that truth realigns itself with what everyone believes? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter as long as you're sincere, it's fine. You think God's come? You die and you stand before God, and He says, "Well, you were sincere. Come on in." Well, I know you believe stupid, but it's okay. The blood of my son doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. Whatever you believe, sweetheart, that's how it really plays out. Do you see what I'm saying? I know I'm being a little sarcastic. I know I'm being a little facetious. So I'm trying to make a point. Our beliefs don't really matter unless we believe the right thing. It's not how much we believe. It's what's believed in. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change to suit people. And now, I know we live in a culture that's diverse and has a lot of different beliefs and stuff. We can respect people's beliefs, respect the right for them to believe, but at the end of the day, aren't we respecting their right to be wrong? And now if I say that, you say, whoa, that's the most arrogant. No, it's not really. It's just what the Bible teaches. It's an exclusive gospel. Jesus says, me and me alone. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You come by me, you're not coming. That's all there is to it. Hey, these aren't my words. They're the words of Jesus Christ. They're the words of Paul, who got them from Jesus Christ. Now we're in chapter 2, okay? I just say that for a little bit of background. Now we're in chapter 2. Then 14 years after what? All the stuff that he talks about. Then I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas. I took Titus with me also. Do you realize this is what happened? He says, I stayed away. I went to visit, you know, and I did this, and I went, and then I was back in Antioch. I was preaching the gospel, this and that. And then 14 years later, I went to Jerusalem and say, okay, big deal. Oh, it's a huge deal. It's a big deal. You realize this is what happened? No, you don't. You're mystified. You're looking, yeah, 14 years, big deal. Deuteronomy 16:16. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. I'm just going to read one verse. It's in Exodus, and it's in Deuteronomy. But I remember it in Deuteronomy because it's 16:16, and it's easy, right? Deuteronomy 16:16 says this, 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Read here, Jerusalem. Not at this point, but later on, right? In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's spring, in the Feast of Weeks, you know it better as Pentecost, that's the middle of summer, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. They make these little houses, and they live in them for a week, for 8 days. That's in the fall. So you have to go to Jerusalem Three times a year, if you're an able-bodied male Jew, and over the age of 20, we'll find out in other scriptures. You say, big deal. Well, a very big deal. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. Wait a second. Wait. You're a rabbi. You remember the Sanhedrin. Our Jewish roots brethren, they say, Shual, the rabbi, they call him. Yeah. How come he run through 14, 28, 30, 42 stop signs, and he didn't comply with what God's wishes were? He's off that program. Listen to me. This is very, very important. And I know, because a lot of you guys listen to Jewish root stuff like I do. They add so much to us in their rich understanding, but they're still trying to bring us into bondage. I'm telling you. There's that, you know, they call Jesus Yeshua. That's fine. That's his real name. We anglicized it. That's fine too. They keep Sabbath. People still, a lot of you are really hinky on that point. You want to keep Sabbath? Go ahead. Be my guest. Really? Because didn't we learn in 1 Corinthians, whatever day of the week you think is super important, God bless you. I'm not going to judge you over it. I like Sunday. It's the day Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day we've kind of joined, we've kind of agreed to meet on. You want to just change it to Saturday? I don't. You want me to wear a yarmulke, prayer shawl, the blue border on all my clothes? I'm not interested. Thank you. And I'm not interested in trying to keep all Jewish feasts and holidays and holy days. I'm not. Does that make me a bad guy? Well, it makes me in company with Paul. Paul's not doing it either. He says, that was a program for a time. I used to buy into that. He wouldn't think about missing the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles. Now he's like, 14 years went by. I'm like, done with that program now. You're thinking, I'm reading too much of this? I don't think so. This is the same guy who's going to tell us in verse 16, same chapter, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Stuff's out the window. I don't do that anymore. Saying, not really. What do you make of that? So about 14 years lapsed, and I finally went back to Jerusalem. And by the way, in verse 2, I only went by revelation. What does that mean? Jesus revealed to me, go to Jerusalem. Why? Well, we'll look at that. He takes Barnabas and he takes Titus. Titus is interesting choice for him to go with Paul. Barnabas, not so much. Barnabas was well-respected among the leadership of Jerusalem. We find that out in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. But Titus, he's a Gentile. He's not Jewish, and they're headed to Jerusalem. He's a convert to Christianity. Now the question is, does he have to be a convert to Judaism? And we'll find out why that's important, why God says, listen, I know you've been away from Jerusalem for a long time. You have to go, and you have to get there, and you have to go right now. Take Barnabas with you, and take Titus. I wonder how Titus felt about that. Like I say, he's a guinea pig. He's a test case. What do you mean? Well, you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul refers to Titus as my brother and says how he had no peace when Titus was absent. And then when Titus shows up in 2 Corinthians 7, 6, Paul says how that the coming of Titus comforted him. In 2 Corinthians 8, 6, it shows how Paul trusted Titus to receive a collection from the Christians at Corinth, and 2 Corinthians 8:16 says Titus had the same earnest care that Paul had. 2 Corinthians 8:23, Paul says, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, Paul says how that Titus shares Paul's heart. The quote is, did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? And in the letter addressed to Titus, Paul says this, in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, Paul calls Titus a true son in our common faith. So they be brothers, they're friends, they're doing ministry together, they're doing life together. And so he takes him to Jerusalem with him because God said to, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Now let's look at that in Acts chapter 15. We'll be there for a while. I think you want to turn there. Acts chapter 15 is historic. It's incredible. Verse 1, certain men which came down from Judea, they're in Antioch, by the way, from the chapter before. I believe, if my memory's right. Certain men which came down from Judea, and you always come down from Judea, whether you go to Antioch, whether they say if you're flying over Jerusalem in a plane and you parachute out, you go up to Jerusalem if you're flying over Jerusalem. Just you fall up. Everything's up to Jerusalem. When you come away from Jerusalem, you come down, even if it's not at a different elevation, not if you're going north. We always think like up north and down east, and because we're weird. But anyway, so they say come down from Judea. It's north of Judea, but that's how they always roll, you know. So they came down from Judea, taught their brethren, and they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Is this a big deal? This is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. This is huge. You don't think about this. Listen, when somebody is sharing the gospel with you, did they say, men, you got to be saved, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, by the way, you got to get circumcised. That's a game changer. That's a do you imagine how encumbered your gospel would be if you had to add that proviso on the end of it? We don't talk about that. Listen, I don't know that. Truth in church, right? We want to know. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's all raise a hand. No. My very best friends in the whole wide world, I don't know if they're circumcised or not. And what about truth in church? Shut up. We don't know. We don't want to know. We don't care. We don't want to care. Even my very, very best friends, because it's not do you have to be circumcised to sit on the board at this church? No. We don't know. We don't know who is. We don't know. Do you have to be a circumcised to be a deacon here? No. Do you have to be circumcised to attend? No. Do you have to be circumcised in any way, shape, or form to be any part of this church whatsoever? No. Or any Christian church. Paul nails this down. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because there's people come and saying, yeah, okay, Jesus, he's wonderful. He's the Savior. But in addition to Christ, circumcision. You're saying, well, that's obviously dumb. Well, people still do that. It's not, circumcision is the big issue, but baptism can be. Just this week, a friend of mine was telling me about her brother that got saved. And he went in, he got in with this group who, you got to be circumcised, circumcision on the brain. You got to be baptized. And they made him get baptized immediately after he gets saved. Do you have to be baptized? No. Do you have to give? No. Do you have to come to church? No. Do you have to read your Bible? Don't make me laugh. Do you have to? Now, I'm not talking about things that should happen in your life. Because the question is, should you be baptized? Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to be obedient, should you give? Well, if you want to be blessed. Should you pray? Yeah, if you want to have a dialogue with God, if you want to let him pour all your heart out to him, if you want to talk with him, yeah. Should you read your Bible? That goes without saying. I'm not saying these things aren't good things. I'm saying they're not salvation things. What do you need to be saved? The blood of Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's it. That's the whole thing. And with that is the idea of repentance, turning from sin. I get that, okay? But it's no human activity. We're going to nail that down, but the first thing we got to understand is they came and said, yeah, you got to keep Moses. You're Jesus and Moses. That's the methodology for salvation. Is that important? It changes everything. It changes simply everything. And therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. In other words, this was big doings. This was hot and heavy. And they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. I think Galatians 2 is what this is about. That's why he's going. Now in Acts 15, it's filling in the details. And this isn't 100% sure, but this is my thinking about it. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come up to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's what our Jewish roots friends tell us. Now, the good ones say you don't have to do it to be saved. They understand that, but a lot of them say, well, you have to do it to be obedient, and you should, And at the end of it, it's how much law can you keep? And I really question their Christology at all. Is Jesus' blood enough? And they well, yeah, he saves, but, and they want to add all these things. And I'm like, not drinking the Kool-Aid, pass. Just tell us about stuff that we need to know from the Old Testament. Bring that to light. But if you're telling me I have to do anything, guess what? I'm not. I'm absolutely, positively not doing it. My relationship isn't mandatory on any level. I have a wife, right? Okay, this is the new rule. Get this straight, sister, girly girl. Let me tell you how it's going to be. Tomorrow, you're going to get out of bed nice and early, and you're going to put my lunch up for me. And listen, every day, and I don't want to start a firestorm in your house, every day my wife gets up and she lovingly, because she loves me, go and figure, packs my lunch, and I go off to work with a well-stocked. Now, why am I going to make that a rule? We have this love thing going, right? Why? Do you do devotions? I hope you do. So you wake up like 6 to 6:30, you meet with God, you have prayer time, you have Bible reading. Legalistically, every day? Does that fly in our house, by the way? I wake up and I meet with Sue 6 to 6:30. Later on she comes and she says, hey, how about, nope, 6 to 6:30 tomorrow, I'll see you. Is that how you do a relationship? Bunch of rules, bunch of regulations? That's what relationship do we have like that? Well, Christianity is a relationship with the living God. It's not a bunch of rules. People want to make rules. The Pharisees want to make rules. Oh, you got to circumcise them. They got to keep the law of Moses. I'll pass. Not wearing a yarmulke. And by the way, the group I know about most is Catholics. I come from Catholic. If I was doing this and I was Catholic, you know what it would look like? I'd have to learn Latin. My relationship with my wife, that's a thing of the past because you can't be married. Why? It's the rules, and we keep rules around here. So my love life goes from fulfilling and wonderful to hypothetical. Got to learn Latin. I got to wear a dress. Robe, Adam. Robe, dress. I ain't doing it, right? Forget about it. And then you got a lot of rules too, right? You can't eat meat on Friday. You have to go here on Sunday. You have to. Why? Will it make me go to heaven? No, but if you don't go, you will definitely go to hell. It is a mortal sin to miss Mass, and you're going to hell. Well, how do I get back on? Well, you come to me, the guy who speaks Latin, and you tell me your heinous, grievous sin, and I'll say, yeah, don't worry about it, say two Hail Marys, and you're good again. Then will I go to heaven? No. Maybe, after a million years in purgatory. I don't know. I can't make you go to heaven. But I can warn you about going to hell. You guys want that because I kind of don't. I rejected that. I turned my back from that. Now, that's Catholicism, but each group has its new rules. And its new, well, you know, if you're Jehovah's Witness, you got to do this. If you're Mormon, you got to do this. If you're Catholic, you got to do this. And it's gotta. Here, we Bible-believing Christians, there's no got to involved. We love Jesus. We serve Jesus and because we love him. It can't get simpler than that. Jesus, come into my life and save me. He said, yep, here I am. Oh, I'm done with sin now. He said, yeah, you're okay. That's good. And I turned from sin, turned to Jesus, asked him into my heart, and that's it. That's what happened. Look at me. That's what happened. That's the whole thing. I testified to that last week. I went to length. I shared my testimony. I never do that. No, I'm not keeping the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. I'm glad they got this right. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to the men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That was at the house of Cornelius. You remember? Acts chapter 8. 7. 7. 8. I don't remember. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Same God, same Holy Ghost into Gentile believers at Cornelius' house. Well, Peter, were they circumcised? Don't know, didn't check. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They started speaking in tongues. It was a wonderful day. I wasn't even halfway through my gospel, and Holy Spirit couldn't wait, fell on them. They were saved, they were converted, they were speaking in tongues. Good day. God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Were they Moses' law-keeping Mosaic people? No. Were they eating kosher? No. Were they Sabbatarians? Who knows? Probably not. People in the Gentile world aren't generally. Now, therefore, why tempt you God? Listen, you rule people. Why are you tempting God? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, I said this, and I said this like Wednesday night. I was talking about this. There's two problems with the law. One is you can't keep it because, like how do you go to, how do you keep, this is the best example I can do. How do you keep Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? What temple do you show up at? What high priest do you see? He's going to kill a goat and spread it on what mercy seat? You physically, God broke it so you can't keep it. And the other problem is, you're a sinner. Sorry that hurt your little feelings, but so am I. I could never keep the law. You know, every time I always had a right and wrong, you know, in my spirit. I always had a sense of this isn't good, this is bad. And I always chose the bad and rarely chose the good. I was broken. And I thought, like, well, if I just redoubled my efforts, how'd that work for me? Never worked. It just doesn't work. Peter saying it, we weren't able to bear it. Our fathers weren't able to do it. Now you want to tell the Gentiles they got to do what we could never do? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. But great place for an amen there. I believe that through the grace, it's a gospel of grace. You say, Adam, but I don't deserve it. Exactly the point, grace. It's a gospel of grace. We're going to be saved, even as they. Then all the multitudes kept silence, gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. What's that point? Because God's doing a miracle. He's attesting to the works. That what they're saying is true. And after that, they held their peace. James answered. So James is the brother of Jesus. He's the head of the Jerusalem Council. He's the head of the church at Jerusalem. And he gives his verdict. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's to say Peter, Simon, right? Hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this I will return, I will build again the tabernacles of David, which are fallen down, I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. I'd like to comment on that, don't have time, but you're seeing that come to fruition pretty soon. We're seeing the onset of it now. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. He's quoting the Old Testament to prove that what God's doing in the book of Acts is what God said he would do all along. None unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, James is giving us his verdict. This is my sentence. That we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Don't try to saddle them with the law of Moses. I hope all my Jewish friends get hold of this, all Jewish roots people. Don't do it. It's wrong. Don't try it. James said no. But we write to them, they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled in from blood. Because you got to meet on some basis. If they're fornicating and eating blood and things like this, and their idol worship is, they're not going to meet with Jewish people. They're going to have nothing to do with them. We want a single united church. So you got to at least do these simple little things. To get saved, no, for a basis of fellowship. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. It pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters certifying what they had determined. Now back to Galatians 2. Paul says, by revelation I went up, but I met with them privately. I didn't make this public because I wanted to, you know, give them opportunity. Let's meet, let's talk about this. Let's not just bring out our dirty laundry in front of everybody and have a full-blown, you know, church split over this. So he talks to them privately. That's just grace. That's just common sense, and that's just treating people like you'd like to be treated. That to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in vain. What does that mean? Paul doesn't know that the Judaizers who are following him around the empire, they came from Jerusalem. He doesn't know if they have the official Jerusalem gospel, the official Jerusalem message. Would it have changed Paul? I don't believe it. Paul just wants to know, hey, we on the same page here? Like when I meet a brother, I want to know if they're a brother, for real. You know, before I start praying for him, before I don't rebuke him, before I have fellowship, and I wonder if the real deal. Well, he got a Bible. Yeah, a lot of people carry Bibles. They don't mean nothing about nothing. So we want to like have a basis for fellowship, a commonality. I want to understand that they are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ like me. And if they are, they're brothers or sisters. And that's enough. I don't want to like super, you know, people like, well, I don't got time. I got to get through this. But you know how people like super separatists? Don't be that guy. You can have discussions and fellowship, and we can be gentlemen about things that we disagree about. But don't hold every last silly thing that you believe in down to item number 312. And if they disagree with you on item 313, oh, you're a heretic, you're going to hell. No. They love Jesus. They're born again by the blood of the Lamb. They're brothers, okay? And everything else, it'll all sort itself out, right? Where am I? So he meets them secretly, and he wants to know if he's running vain. But look, here's the test case. Here's Titus, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Wouldn't he have been? Wouldn't James have said, who is this Greek you brought among us? Who is get him circumcised immediately. He believes in Jesus, my brother. James is on board. He's a Christian. He loves Jesus, his older brother, half-brother. They had the same mom, different dads, okay? Long story. So he's on board about Jesus. He likes the fact that Titus is a believer, and he says, well, we got to get this guy circumcised immediately. Hand me that knife. And Titus is like, wait a second. I don't know if I signed up for this. No, Paul's saying, no, they didn't do that. They didn't make Titus get circumcised. Why? Because Moses isn't the deal. That's not important. You see how important that is? I'm giving you one for instance, but let the one for instance stand for the whole, whatever you've contrived in your mind is this equals salvation. It has to be this way, and you've added all these extra things. Paul's saying, look, Jesus, his name, Yeshua, means salvation. Yeshua equals salvation. Now, Yeshua plus whatever you fill out there equals salvation. Whatever's after the plus sign, that's the Kool-Aid. That's the heretic part after that. And this is what Paul's teaching. This is what Galatians all about. No, Titus didn't have to become circumcised because that a false brother unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty. That's what they always do. They're sneaking around. Why are they coming in privately? Walking the front door. Were they invited? I don't think so. They're crashing the party. Hey, we got something to say about this. Like, shut up. No, you don't. You just got trouble to make. You got spew. You got drac and nothing. Yeah, you got to keep and you got to do this and you got to, like, you know what they're doing? They're spying out our liberty. Religious people always spy out your liberty. They hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. You think you are? You based on what? Jesus' blood. Well, and don't they preach to you, to tell you all that, and they categorize and tell you all the big list of the things they've been doing. And the inference is, you got to do this too. Look at, I've been given money for 30 years and I put the stain in the stained glass windows and I never miss and I go to, and they get all these points that they're going to pass into Jesus at the end of it all, and they're going to earn his salvation. And you better too. They hate our liberty. They hate it. Religious people hate the fact that just because you love Jesus, you're going to heaven. They hate that. They won't accept that. They won't embrace that. I can't tell you how many people I've had over the years. Susan will attest to this. Just up in my grill work, mad, angry over this gospel. Jesus loves me. He saved me. Go and figure. They hate it. And they're always trying to bring us, look at this. They come sneaking in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Won't have it. won't have it. I won't have any of your bondage. Listen, I was in bondage to sin. That's my testimony. Jesus came and he broke the shackles. You know, I raised my hand and worship. If for any other reason, one, I know the answer, right? But two, I want to show everyone, hey, there's no shackles. There's no chains. I love Jesus. I serve Jesus. I'm pointing to Jesus. I want everyone to know about Jesus. And there's no, I'm not a slave to sin. I was. You want to bring me back into that? I won't have it. I will not. Rebel for Jesus Christ. Absolutely rebel against your rules. I won't have it. They always try to enslave us. Oh, yeah, yeah, you believe in Jesus. That's cool. But now they want to add, oh, stop, 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 stop. Won't have it. I don't even want to have the discussion. You're saying, what do you mean? That's kind of rude. No, 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 it's not. I've had all the discussions. Paul says this. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We didn't give them the time of day. And I don't think he's saying we didn't even spend, we only there 57 minutes. We didn't give them a whole hour. I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying not even an hour, not even, we didn't even give them the time of day. We didn't spend any time with them. Why? Because what's going to come out of their mouth is heresy and just, every time somebody got new, this oh, you need Jesus, that's right. Plus, do I got to listen to every possible plus that you can come up with and give you like, and sit there and listen and act like a gentleman and suppose that you're going to say something meaningful after what you're adding to Jesus' salvation? How much time do you want? How much gentleman do you want? You're asking impossible things. Now, I don't want to even give you 5 minutes. People ask me about this still. You know, I'm talking to a guy who should know better. He's saying, what about the Sabbath? And he's trying to get me to be a Sabbatarian. Basically, I'm thinking like, no, pass. Free. Staying free. It always becomes a bondage. It always becomes a mandatory. It always becomes a, and by the way, this again, I've gone over this on the Sabbath. It's not a question of what day you worship. I hope you worship 7 days a week. Hope that you, now we get together and worship on Sunday. Again, it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. I don't wait for Sunday to roll around before I worship God. Just don't, okay? But corporately, that's how we do. But this has nothing. The Sabbath has nothing to do with the day of the week that you worship on. It has everything to do with the day of the week you abstain from work. Say, well, I'm okay about taking a day off. I think it's a good idea too. I'm agreeing with the spirit of, yeah, you can't work 7 days. You weren't designed to work 7 days a week. It's not good for you. You're not going to be productive. You need to sit with God and recharge your batteries and visit with the Lord. You need that. I really, really think so. So what day should you do that on? You and God figure it out. I don't want to add any rules. It's going to become the new rule, and I don't want to do that. But it has nothing to do with what day you worship on. It has which day to do with where you refrain from work. Okay, what's work? Oh, you just did it. You opened the whole Pandora's box. They had 30 different categories of work. And each category had 30 different restrictions on it. That's 900. I don't want to learn 900 rules so I can worship God and not work on the Sabbath. I told you. I said this before, and I ain't making it up. You can look at the stuff up on the internet. A woman couldn't look in a mirror on a Sabbath. If she saw white or gray hair, she might be tempted to pluck it, and that would be harvesting. A taboo on the Sabbath. Susan, I know nothing of these matters. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. You couldn't take a bath on the Sabbath. You spill water on the floor, you're washing the floor. Listen, I want to take a bath or a shower every day of the week. I don't care what day it is. You know what I mean? It's good for hygiene. It's good for my health. It's good for the happiness in my house. I always want to take a shower. I don't care. I don't want to be bought into bondage. I don't want to keep your rules. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not going to talk it. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm not even for an hour. I'm not giving you time of day. You have Adam. Nope. That's what he's saying. No, we didn't give him the time of day. But to those who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. You got to understand something. God does not accept any man's person. I don't care if he's the president of the Mormon religion. I don't care if he's the Pope of Rome. I don't care if he's the president of the free world. God's like, oh, wow, you're awesome. You got, that's silly. the God of the universe. He doesn't accept any man's person. This isn't Paul being snotty or Paul being arrogant. This is Paul being truthful. He's not saying, I don't care about them guys. He's not saying that. He's saying, no, it doesn't make any difference to me, you know, because God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference, they added nothing to me. Again, he's not being arrogant. He's saying, they didn't teach me anything that Jesus hadn't already taught me. I spent 3 years with him. He gave me the gospel. Now I saw Peter, and Peter gives me the super gospel, the super deluxe model, best gospel ever. No, they didn't add anything to me. Again, he's just being factual. He's not being arrogant here, because in English it sounds like, they didn't add anything to me. I had it all, you know, before I even showed up. Well, he's saying that, but he's not saying it, I don't think, with a real bad spirit. Look at, because I feel like the same way. I think I got the gospel out. I don't think you can add anything to me. I don't think you could explain it in such a way I get it better. I got it off Paul. Paul got it off Jesus. My lineage here is pretty sound. So some will come up later and say, well, yeah, Adam, but haven't you thought about, no, or don't want to, and I don't want to have that, you know what I mean? I got the gospel. I don't want to change it. I don't want to, oh, my goodness. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. I know Peter went to Cornelius, but Peter was primarily given the gospel to his fellow Jews in Jerusalem. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that's the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So we have one Holy Spirit, and he's blessing my ministry to Gentiles is the same way he was blessing Paul's ministry to Jews. Same Spirit of God. Our ministries won't look alike. The Spirit of God looks a lot. You're working with, you know, this group, or you go to the prison and you're sharing the gospel in there. You have a sewing circle and you're ministering the gospel of blue-haired old grandmas. At the end of the day, who cares? Everyone needs the gospel, and what your ministry looks like is just based on who you are and what God has appointed you to do. But it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same power. And he's saying, I didn't have to become like Peter to enjoy the outpouring of the Spirit of God in my life toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, that's his Aramaic name. When James, Cephas, and John, so he's Peter, James, and John, and not James, the brother of John. This is James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. Who seemed to be pillars, and I don't think he's being facetious there. Hey, they were the head honchos, right? They were speaking on behalf of everybody. When they perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. What's that? That's a pat on the back. That's go for it. Amen for what you're doing. Hey, we'll pray. I love what God's doing among the Gentiles. You keep up the good work. That right hand of fellowship in front of everybody, it's the seal of approval on what his... not only him and Barnabas as ministers, but their ministry, what they're saying, what they're okaying Paul's brand of the gospel, which, by the way, is the same as Peter and James and John. Jesus saves. That's it. They had a whole council about it, and that's what they came up with. Oh, you know these Gentiles? Look, they're going to have the basis of fellowship, so keep them from blood, from fornication, from idolatry. You know, you don't want those things because, you know, they no basis of fellowship. But at the end of the day, what's salvation? It's knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. Any questions? This is plain as the nose in your face. He can't say it any plainer than that. They seem to be pillars. They give us the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only one thing, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was very forward to do. Hey, I'm all about that too, remembering the poor. He went about taking offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem who had suffered a famine. Why? Why is this important to James and John and Peter? Listen, don't go out there and start a whole new... It's not... us Jews here and you Gentiles out there. The church is Jew and Gentile. Don't be exclusive. Don't make it into two factions. Hey, remember us back here. And Paul saying, "Oh, way ahead of you, way ahead of you. That's my heart. That's my heart. I want to bless you. I want to be a blessing to you." And we see in several times, we've read it in 2 Corinthians several times, where Paul's, you know, getting that collection up to take to the poor at Jerusalem. Why? Because it's one fellowship. If one part of the body's hurting, the other part's hurting. But this is right from the beginning. This is why we pray for Brother Saeed. This is why, you know, you do well to remember Christians enduring horrible persecutions in many parts of the planet. They're part of our body. That's the gospel from the beginning. It's the same. If one's in chains, we're all in chains. If one's hurting, we're all hurting. By the way, we're all hurting, in one degree or another. You want to make your ministry to people who are hurting, you'll always have plenty of people to talk to. It's a fallen world. It's just various stages of decay and hurt and suffering. That's the whole thing. But you want to do well to remember them. And I think here's just a cry for unity. He's saying it's not us and them, it's just us. This is just us. And just we do well to remember that at the end of today's study. But one gospel, one alone. Get it. Don't tinker with it. Don't add to it. Don't make people jump through hoops. I can give you only right off the top of my head 1,000 examples, but we'll be here a long, long time. You've heard them, I trust. Jesus' blood shed for me to wash all my sins away. I'm turning from my old life, turning to Jesus. Savior, come into my heart. That is the gospel. It's been the gospel for a long time. Don't mess with it. It's not broken. It doesn't need us to come along and fix it. Let's stand, let's pray. Matt will come and send us out here in song. Lord, I know this is really basic stuff. I haven't told us to know it, to live it, to revel in it, to share it, to not confuse it, to not change it. Perhaps there are some here who are thinking like, that people have troubled them and try to bring them under bondage one way or another. Lord, we're Americans. We don't like bondage. We don't like have to. We're rebels at heart. We were born in rebellion. But Lord, we're not rebels to you. We're your servants. We're your slaves. You've bought us to yourself. And it's not slavery because we don't have a choice. It's not a have to, Lord. It's not the new legalism. It's we love you. We just count it all joy to serve you. And so give us work. Give us opportunity. Give us someone to share the gospel with, this pure, clear, unadulterated gospel, even this week, Lord. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.